Touching on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, and we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Ton of it made last night, Maryland primary. I want to talk about that right away. The results just came in. Late last night from the Maryland primary, Democratic and Republican. And it highlights a strategy of the Democratic Party that I disagree with. And I'll tell you what that is. The Maryland governor primary, the Republican primary was won by Dan Cox. Dan Cox is bad news. Dan Cox is a first-term legislator. He's a Trump loyalist. He's a Trumper. He denies that the 2020 election was legitimate. And during the Capitol riot on social media, right during the riot, he posted, Mike Pence is a traitor. And this is the guy the Republicans are putting up for governor in Maryland this year. He defeated Kelly Schultz. Kelly Schultz was a Larry Hogan candidate. She's a John McCain Republican. Larry Hogan is the very moderate to liberal Republican governor of Maryland. So the Trump guy beat Larry Hogan's candidate. Here is the strategy that I don't like on the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party spent a lot of money advertising for Cox, for Dan Cox. Why did they do that? Because they thought, in my view, mistakenly, that they should do that so that Dan Cox would win the Republican primary and he would be so extreme that the electorate in Maryland, even if they're Republicans or independents, would gag and say, we're not going to have him. Here's why that's flawed. The Democratic Party was expected to nominate Tom Perez. Tom Perez was the former chairman of the Democratic Party nationally. He was Secretary of Labor under Obama. He would be a great governor if he'd won the primary. He would have been a great governor. He's a very good guy, decent guy, smart. And he was Secretary of Labor. Unfortunately, the final numbers aren't in, but a fellow is ahead of him and is likely to win named Wesley Otende Amari Moore. Now, Wesley Otende Amari Moore grew up in the Bronx, and he has a wonderful backstory, no question about it. He acted out as a kid, sent to military school, turned his life around, was accepted at Johns Hopkins University in Maryland. It's one of the great universities in the country, and he got squared away, and that's terrific. But he has no position in any government. He heads a nonprofit, and he's going to go up now, likely anyway, as of the last numbers, against Dan Cox, a Trumper, who's a first-term legislator. The reason why I think the Democratic strategy is flawed in spending money that they raise from Democrats to promote right-wing nuts like Dan Cox, is that what happens if things take a bad bounce? You can't control an electorate. What happens if the Democrat you think is going to get nominated doesn't get nominated, and somebody else is a perfectly good guy, but has absolutely no credential to run for governor, is not known whatsoever, and doesn't have any position? And no name recognition. And between now and November, you're supposed to have him beat a first-term legislator. Maybe he will. Don't get me wrong. Maybe he will. I support him. If I were in Maryland, and even if you contribute to people from other states, contribute to the guy. Wesley Otende Amari Moore. I think he's going to appear on the ballot as Wes Moore. I hope he does that. But in any event, it's a high-risk strategy of the Democrats. If Kelly Schultz, Larry Hogan's candidate, the John McCain Republican, the Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger-type Republican, had been nominated instead and hadn't faced a barrage of Democratic negative advertising about her, I would not have wanted her to beat any of our candidates, but if she did, you wouldn't have a Trumper in there. Now you could have a Trumper. You know, the Democrats did this in Illinois and Pennsylvania. Now, in Illinois, they nominated a Trumper, but obviously J.B. Pritzker is strong enough, I think he beats him. But in Pennsylvania, they succeeded, the Democrats, in nominating a Republican in Mastriano, who's really bad news. I mean, this guy is a Trumper to the max. He's a Trumper on steroids, and he is truly bad news. And if he ever gets in, Pennsylvania also, the only state in the country with a weird law where the governor appoints the Secretary of State. You do not vote for the Secretary of State. The governor appoints the Secretary of State. And when that happens, if Mastriano were to win against Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General, and right now Josh Shapiro is slightly ahead, but it's a very close race. If Mastriano gets in there and appoints a guy like himself, a Trumper, a real Trumper, you're going to have the governor and the secretary of state in Pennsylvania the next time there's a presidential election. They've said, Mastriano said, he's not going to certify a Democrat, and he will certify Trump or he'll certify any Republican. We will be stripped of the right in Pennsylvania to vote for president. Pennsylvania Supreme Court right now typically has done the right thing, but who knows 2 years from now. And then it'll go to a Supreme Court that 6-3 Republican has said that the legislatures are paramount. If the legislature, the governor wants something, well, you don't have a right to a presidential election. We have a fascist party developing in this country and fascist inclinations developing in the U.S. Supreme Court. You must understand that. You must understand that. So what the Democrats did in Maryland, now Maryland's still a Democratic state overall, by and large. But, you know, if you have not just a Republican, but a Trumper in there, I mean, look, when Larry Hogan was in the last 4 years, Larry Hogan's a Republican, but he's a John McCain Republican. He's a Liz Cheney Republican. He's an Adam Kinzinger Republican. He's going to run for president, and I don't think he's going to get it on the Republican side, but he's trying to sniff around, offer himself as a vice presidential nominee to somebody. We need people in a Republican Party who are more Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. We don't need more Trumpers in the Republican Party. And we need two parties. We need a conservative party and a liberal party. That's the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. So why did the Democrats do this? Why did they pour money in to help Dan Cox get nominated? They did it because in Missouri, about 10 years ago, now, Missouri, you're not going to win as a Democrat normally, but we had Claire McCaskill running. We had a guy on the right who was so weird and strange. Democrats put money in for him on the Republican side. He got nominated and Claire McCaskill beat him. Same in Indiana. Right-wing nut was running on the Republican side for Senate. The Democratic Party put money in and got him nominated. And then the Democrat won for 1 6-year term. And so we flipped two seats, Missouri, or I should say we retained Missouri and flipped Indiana by this tactic. Well, give it a moment's thought. Typically, we are never, ever, ever going to win a Senate seat in Missouri and in Indiana unless something odd or strange happens. So you want to take a risk on that? Fine, because the worst thing that happens is you're going to get bad news anyway. Worst thing that can happen. In that case, it worked. We drew to an inside straight and we hit. It's very, very long odds. But Maryland is fundamentally a Democratic state. And when Republicans get in, they are very moderate. Moderate to liberal in some cases, sort of like Massachusetts. When you mess around in the Republican primary and putting a lot of money in to elevate a Trumper just because you want to lock in a Democratic victory, beware of what you wish for. Beware of what you wish for. Because you can't guarantee that Tom Perez is going to be your nominee. You want him to be. Everybody wanted him to be. But it might not happen. Might not happen. There's a chemistry. There's a chemistry in politics. So a guy who came totally out of the blue with absolutely no credential other than heading up a nonprofit was the attendee Amari Moore. Is slightly ahead of Perez right now, and he could beat him. Probably will beat him. And if he does, it's going to be Wes Moore against Dan Cox. Dan Cox is a first-term legislator and endorsed, well, he's a Trumper. He's a Trump loyalist. And who's Wes Moore? Nice guy, very nice guy, smart guy. Turned his life around and got into Johns Hopkins University, a great university. Got himself squared away, and that's great, but this election isn't about individual candidates turning their lives around. This election is going to be, first, who would be the best governor for Maryland, and secondly, even when you get a bad candidate like Dan Cox with enough money, and they'll put tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars in, you know that, they're going to make him look like the second coming. They're going to make him look like George Washington. And they're going to make Wes Moore look like, who's Wes Moore? Who is this guy? Who's Wes Moore? And if we lose that, then we're going to have a governor who will not certify the 2024 election. Very foolish strategy this time to my friends in the Democratic Party. Yes, it worked for Claire McCaskill in Missouri 10 years ago. Yes, it worked for Joe Donnelly in Indiana a bit ago. I understand that. Those are states that you are never going to win otherwise. Maryland is a state that you should win, and if you don't, you want to hedge, and you wanted Kelly Schultz, who's a McCain, Liz Cheney Republican, and now you got this guy, Dan Cox, who's more like a Mastriano in Pennsylvania. And Trump, that's exactly what he's like. Going to break, lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You became here from Mexico.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is amazingly foolish, but it doesn't surprise me. A Republican congressman from Texas named Ronnie Jackson, right the day that the Uvalde report came out from the Texas legislature, showing that 387 police officers from all departments were in the hallway as these kids were being murdered. 387, how did they fit in the hallway? All swaggering around with guns. Whenever a gun went off, they ran the other way. Chicken hawks is what they were. Ronnie Jackson, the day that that report came out showing that detail, posted a video of himself, a pro-gun video, online, showing him holding two AR-15s. After 19 little ones had been killed, two teachers, report came out that day, and he's holding two AR-15s, and he is daring Biden to take them. He says, come and try to take these, Joe Biden. Unfortunately for him, he had one of them pointed at his feet, the metaphor being he shot himself in the foot. Same day the Texas House published the Uvalde report. He was mercilessly ridiculed online. You know, idiot, dumb cuff. You know, 19 little ones and two teachers are killed. Texas report comes out that same day saying there were 387 chicken hawks who didn't do anything. There was a school board meeting where the parents got up screaming at them, saying fire them all and criminally charge the leaders. They stood outside. The door was open. It was not locked. when they claimed that they had tried 30 keys and they finally got one from the janitor. That was false. They were lying. You could see them every time they heard a shot running away down the hall. You could see them not only running away down the hall, but if parents came in, tried to get in to save their kids, they arrested the parents. They threw them on the ground and zip-tied some of them. One woman said, okay, I won't go in. They let her go. She jumped up and ran in and saved her son and her daughter. And then you know what happened after that? A car mysteriously parked near her house in a threatening manner at night, in the middle of the night. Entire police force down there should be fired. Leadership should be submitted to a grand jury to see if there was a criminal offense in there being chicken hawks and not ordering people in. And you know what you do is, it's an open door. You kick open the door, you're lying on the ground, and the guy shoots through the door, okay, and you just blast him to kingdom come. The chicken hawks swagger around. We've secured the building. We've arrested parents that are trying to get in. Okay, yeah, he may kill people in there, but he's not going to kill anyone else. Chicken hawk, chicken hawk. And Ronnie Jackson, you know, Texas has a lot of bad congressmen. I mean, Texas has a lot of congressmen that don't even pass a humanity test on a lot of these issues, and bad senators, too. Take a look at Ted Cruz. But for Ronnie Jackson to post a video of himself holding two AR-15s daring Biden, what, Joe Biden, supposedly Biden to take them, when they were illegal in 1994, 10 years, Republicans put a sunset on it. George W. Bush lifted the ban. And nobody's taking anything without a congressional legislation, and that is what is pending in Congress right now. And he points one at his foot. The same day the House, they published the report about the chicken hawks. He got mercilessly roasted. Why doesn't this guy get beaten? Okay, maybe it's a gerrymandered Republican district. I understand that. Isn't there a single Republican in Texas with any common sense and decency and humanity? Is there one? I don't know one in Texas. I know one in Wyoming named Liz Cheney. I know one in Illinois named Adam Kinzinger. Tell you what, there aren't that many of them. But that is the sad fact of what happened. Sad fact of what happened with Ronnie Jackson. If you hear his name lives in infamy. He is bad news. Very bad news, Ronnie Jackson. Well, he's not alone on hypocrisy. This is unbelievable from Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin, remember, tanked soft infrastructure on climate because he has a $30 million stake in a coal company. Gets his funding from energy industry. So he's at some kind of a meeting with constituents and people are shouting, we got to do something about climate change. And you know what he said? Said, we must do something about climate change. Congress must pass a climate program. Hey, yesterday he tanked the climate program, and it was a fairly weak one, too. It was not all that stringent. And he knifed it, and now he's going around saying, Congress must act. He is Congress. He tanked it himself. This reminds me of Republicans that fought against COVID relief. No money. Then when the money came out, they put out press releases boasting about the money. Guy down in Mississippi in some, you know, Buffalo Nut, Mississippi, wherever he was, he goes, we're getting $790,000 to Buffalo, Mississippi. Isn't that great? Hey, dude, you voted against it. You got up and said it was socialism. And now you're boasting about it. You know, he grinned. Said, no one knows. No one cares. They think I brought 790 grand back to Mississippi. Joe Manchin goes, Congress must pass a climate program. Yeah, it was going to. If you voted for it the other day and you tanked it because you have a $30 million interest in a coal company and you get your money from big energy. Is anybody listening? Does anybody care? Seriously, if I were in West Virginia, Guy goes, Congress must pass a climate program, and I know he tanked it. I'm going to say, what's this all about? And I'm not going to vote for this guy. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. To Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. Well, we're going to come back to the Wisconsin governor race. Wisconsin governor race. You know, Foxconn. I've talked about Foxconn a lot. You may remember in the governor race back in 2018, I ran a lot of ads saying that Foxconn was a scam and we had to tank it. The scam and we had to tank it. And no one else agreed. And then it turns out it was a scam and we should have tanked it. It cost us $1 billion for site preparation and other things. And now we're out of it. Remember the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish? She was lieutenant governor to Scott Walker. He was the pigeon, the patsy who signed it. He has absolutely no conception of a business whatsoever. Didn't use professionals. Did it on a napkin for $4 billion plus to the Chinese who claimed that they would make large screen TVs. Then it was small screens for phones. Then it was coffee makers, believe it or not, coffee makers. We're going to give $4 billion to a Chinese company to compete with what? The West Bend company here who do it on their own nickel. Then he was going to do electric cars, really. We're going to give a Chinese company $4 billion to develop electric cars. In other words, insuring all their risks and their overhead to compete with what? Ford and GM? Yeah, really? That's what we were going to do under the Republicans? Well, I criticized it. Not only did the Duchess of Foxconn cheerlead for it with Walker, jumping up and down, shouting, "We're the girls from Foxconn High. We don't smoke and we don't drink." Okay. But Michaels, running against her, the major opponent, Michaels, the Michaels company, made millions of dollars off of Foxconn. They built roads, they did construction for the site preparation, got paid handsomely, got paid very handsomely by the state of Wisconsin. So naturally, Michaels liked Foxconn. And he put out a statement several weeks ago where he said that Foxconn was a good thing, and he would try to revive it. He would try to revive it. The Duchess of Foxconn said, "Wait a minute. I was for Foxconn before you were. You just made money on it. You were for it then, and I was too. But I did it without even making any money on it." And that's what the debate was. Now, just yesterday, Michaels did a 180. And now he goes, "I don't like Foxconn after all, and I'm opposed to it." You know, at what point? It's not just hypocrisy. At what point is there a rudimentary intelligence or understanding in the electorate of people who do a 180 on an issue that quick with a straight face? How much understanding out there is there? You know, we just talked about Joe Manchin saying that he tanked climate change. Remember that? The soft infrastructure with Biden? Because he has a $30 million stake in a coal company. $30 million stake. And he gets his money and his campaign from the energy industry. And then he gets roasted by constituents. And he goes, Congress must do something. This is a day after he tanked it. Yeah, Congress must do something. Manchin, you are Congress. You are Congress, Manchin. How about the guys in Mississippi? Oppose COVID relief money. Socialism, socialism. Then they get it. And then they boast about it, put out a press release. You know, I, Representative Beauregard Plushbottom in Mississippi, have gotten $790,000 for my little corner. And everybody thanks him. They thanked him. And he didn't let on that he'd opposed it and called it socialism the day before. But we have this going on right now in Wisconsin. Michaels made millions off of Foxconn. The Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, was the biggest cheerleader for it. He made millions. Michaels, the Duchess, says, I want Foxconn again. We're going to give him more money. Michaels, you know what Michaels does now? Michaels goes, I changed my mind. Come on, this is Wisconsin, guys. You're not getting it. We're going to the lines. Joe and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Well, I don't mean to take you away from Foxconn, and I hope you will return to that discussion because it's certainly a part of our history and current day, obviously. So any more information we can get on that is always appreciated. But I was interested to get your reaction as a lawyer looking at some of the consequences of these decisions about abortion and how it relates to women getting particular pharmaceutical drugs that they need for autoimmune diseases, specifically rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. There's a drug called methotrexate that women are having a difficult time obtaining from their pharmacist because the pharmacist says, I can't give you that because it may impact the fetus. And they'll say, I'm not pregnant. Doesn't matter. You might be pregnant and not know it. If I'm going to get, heavy hands are going to hit me down because I'm giving you a drug, I'm not going to do it. So I'm having a difficult time getting this particular drug. But you were talking about hypocrisy. And I was reading a little bit about this. And it is, they say that if you want to have a child, that women should be off of this drug for 6 months before trying to conceive. But guess what? Men should too, because this drug can also affect sperm. So I'm interested in your reaction about where this may go as we head into the future. Could women not say, I should have every access to this drug if it can affect men in the same way in terms of damaging a potential child? So I'm curious what your thoughts might be on that, about how a woman could make a case to get access to this drug based on that particular fact. So I'd be curious to listen off air. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Excellent question. And let me tell you what, unfortunately, this whole thing has degenerated to. As you phrase that question, you know, whether there's an equal protection argument that it affects men and affects women and so on, the fact that we even have to descend to that kind of hair splitting on an issue when the larger issue is looming in our face, the short answer is absolutely it would be the law that if a drug would affect a potential pregnancy, whether taken by men or women, and it's denied to women and not to men, that's a clear violation of equal protection. I mean, there's no question about it. But I have a larger question. Why are we even, this is an abomination that we even have to get down to that. There is a state senator in Kentucky, forget her name, but I like her very much. She's a Democrat. And she listened to all this, and you know what she did? She put in a bill, and she did it tongue-in-cheek, and it's not going to pass, obviously. But it would require every woman in Kentucky once a month to file a report with the health commissioner at swearing to her pregnancy status. And if she was wrong about it, either lying or mistaken, she could be subject to criminal prosecution. That went out over the air. Some people took it seriously. And there are people saying, I'm getting the hell out of Kentucky. Well, The problem is half the states in this country are like Kentucky. In Oklahoma, you have a law that kicked back in that does not make an exception for the life of the mother. Well, the doctor takes a Hippocratic oath, and if he has a patient with an ectopic pregnancy, what does he do? Send her to California? She can't afford to go to California, wherever she is in Oklahoma or, you know, whatever neighboring state. Some of these states, Joe, are now considering laws to criminalize a woman's leaving the state to go to a state where she can have an abortion. That, just like the hypothetical you posited, which would be a violation of equal protection, that one's a violation of the Privileges and Immunities Clause. There is a general clause in the Constitution that says you have privileges and immunities, and one of them is to travel freely. That's why you don't need a passport if you go to California. That's why you don't need a passport to go to Illinois. That's why they can't screen you at the border and say, why are you coming to Illinois? If you can be criminalized back in Wisconsin, for instance, because you went to Illinois for a purpose they don't like in Wisconsin but is okay in Illinois, people are now talking about the Privileges and Immunities Clause as a defense. It is. Why are we even having to talk about that? What happened to bodily autonomy? Bodily autonomy, what is really happening in all this is that people in general, most men and some women, do not take women seriously. I mean, I hate to say that. That's what's happening. They do not look on women as equally like men to be protected in their bodily autonomy. They just don't. That is disgusting. And now we're arguing about equal protection and the Privileges and Immunities Clause. This is an abomination. You have an illegitimate Supreme Court with one justice rammed through in lame duck. It's not legitimate. I'm going to be talking about that after the break. Thanks a lot for calling in. The lines are still alive. Do not hang up. I see you on the lines. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Blue. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Before I respond further to Joe of Madison, I want to recognize Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. Yeah, that was a great call by Joe there. Quickly, Michaels is a flip-flopper. Kevin Helpless is either Michaels or Rebecca get elected governor. It'd be a terrible thing. And also, when you listen to Joe, it points out how important the Senate race is in this state. It could be the difference between getting everything Biden wants or going the other way, which I don't really want to think about. And down the road, if you address the Secret Service emails, you know, the ones where they went crazy on Hillary, maybe cost through the election. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for calling in. Those are great. Let me respond to you, and then I'm going to respond to Joe some more. First of all, the Senate race, August 9. Basically, it was 3 weeks from yesterday. It's 2 weeks from next Tuesday. 2 weeks. Get involved in one of those races. Get involved in one of those races. We have excellent candidates. They had a debate. I personally think that any one of them could beat Ron Johnson. But let's get behind somebody. Ron Johnson is putting on ads trying to say, for instance, that he always will stand up for Wisconsin and he'll cut taxes. He voted for a tax cut that 87% of it or something went to people in the top 1% or even 0.5% of the country. And it had the effect of raising taxes on middle-class people. And he has proposed, in effect, raising taxes on lower-income people just so that they have some skin in the game. Just so they have some skin in the game, as he puts it. Skin in the game is a term that's used by people who buy and sell companies. You don't tell a guy with a wife and 4 kids who can't work outside the home because she's so busy at home, and he has a job paying $25,000 a year, that he needs to put skin in the game. He's put plenty of skin in the game already. So did his wife. So We got to get involved in that race. Find out the four candidates. You have Alex Lazary, Sarah Godlewski, Tom Nelson, Mandela Barnes, and then you have a number of other fine ones as well. Look them up. Pick out the one you want. Vote for them. Get to the polls August 9. Get your friends and family to the polls. We got to beat this guy. On the Secret Service emails, and you anticipate some of our topics, but the Secret Service goes, we happen to lose the emails from the 5th and the 6th of January because we were doing a conversion of our equipment. We didn't lose any before that and none after that. And a guy comes in, a Secret Service professional, veteran of more than 20 years, who wrote a book. He said, they don't communicate by text. They communicate by radio. They have microphones in their sleeves and they have earbuds in their ears. And there's something like 200 of them at any given spot along the route that a president is. 200 of them. 200 of them. If they didn't communicate by radio, it's because they were covering something up. And if there were texts saying something like, Trump, this idiot, is trying to get to the Capitol, what do we do? You know, that kind of stuff. They deleted them. They deleted them. And he said that the NSA can recover anything. You can't delete anything. You can say that it's off your device. You can say it's off your server. You can say till you're blue in the face, we can get those texts. The Secret Service is protecting Trump, even though what they have to say probably makes them look good. Like Trump, this idiot, he's trying to get to the Capitol. Tony Ornato, who is a former Secret Service, but he was pro-Trump, and Trump made him deputy chief of staff, told Cassidy Hutchinson, Trump grabbed the steering wheel, and he came at my clavicle, my throat, and she recounted that, and he has sort of said without going on the record, no, that didn't happen. The Secret Service protects their protectee. Their protectee was Trump, and they will lie to protect him. That's what's going on. Everything else is hypocrisy. You know, Hillary Clinton's emails that the Ruskies hacked into that were not compromised other than by the Ruskies to help Trump. They go after him, and Comey doesn't even say that Trump is being investigated for treason with the Ruskies, only that Hillary's being investigated, that turned the election. There's a lot of chicanery going on, okay? Cut through it all, everybody. Vote Democratic, okay? Okay, vote Democratic. Now, I want to get back to what Joe Madison said, and this is a very, very profound thing. You've heard before that if something affects men, everything is done to protect it and men. Somebody once said if men could have abortions, they would not only be not outlawed, they'd be a sacrament. So that is a kind of a just a very cheeky way to put it. But basically, Joe came up, there's a certain drug that you shouldn't take if you plan to be pregnant within 6 months. Well, who plans within 6 months? I mean, yeah, some people do it. A lot of people don't. So how do you know? But secondly, it can affect sperm as well as the woman. And so therefore, nobody should get it. Well, no, you need it. You need it for rheumatoid arthritis and other things. So it's denied only to women. That's a violation of equal protection. But why am I even having to say this? To talk equal protection. Men have autonomy over their bodies. Society is beginning to say women don't have autonomy over their bodies. Some states now are going to criminalize traveling to another state for abortions. Joe might ask, can they do that under the Privileges and Immunities Clause? No, of course they can't. If you go to Illinois, they can't ask you why you're going there. And if you commit a felony in Illinois, which abortion is not down there, you can't try your fort in Wisconsin. So if you do something in Illinois that's perfectly legal, but is a felony in Wisconsin, no, they cannot prosecute back here. But they're going to pass it anyway because the Supreme Court is 6-3 Republican and five of them are hardcore. One of them was confirmed during lame duck, nominated by a president who'd lost. He lost the election. Confirmed by a Senate by a narrow margin, many of whom weren't going to sit in the Senate afterwards. This is a sham. This is not a legitimate judge. This is not a legitimate court. Now, here is the thing I want to say, and think about this long and hard. If a day comes where the Supreme Court orders something that is clearly repulsive to most of the people, the remedy is disobedience. Do everything you can to remove these justices, impeach them, convict them in a trial in the Senate, and remove them. But if you can't, because Moscow Mitch will block it, do not obey them. The devastatingly sneaky thing of what this Supreme Court did is they're not telling you to do anything. They're just saying the states can tell you to do things or not. Then they sit back and grin. Well, about half the states, let's take Oklahoma, will say not only can't you have an abortion, you can't even do one and have one to save the life of the mother. To save the life of the mother, you're entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To save the life of the mother. They're not the only state. Louisiana is another one that's trying that. A federal judge initially blocked it. How can you say that a woman can't save her own life? That is the ultimate degradation, to say that someone can't save their own life. They can't save their own life. And the fact is a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, she can die. But somebody in Oklahoma doing a medical procedure to save her life would be guilty of a felony, perhaps. And here's another thing that's very sad. There is no, and listen to this, there's no common sense when it comes to your fear of criminal prosecution. You would think that any doctor in Oklahoma would intervene to stop an ectopic pregnancy. And if some DA in a rural county decided to prosecute him because he wanted to be governor, the doctor could go to trial and he'd win. And yeah, he probably would. He'd probably spend $50,000 or $100,000 on legal fees, and he'd be in the newspaper for 3 weeks. Well, people are risk adverse. They don't want to put up with that. Even pharmacists, you'd think that a pharmacist, if he got a prescription that said it's for rheumatoid arthritis, he'd do it. And they said to him, well, couldn't that have an abortive effect? Yeah, well, that's remote, and that isn't why it was. Would he be prosecuted? Almost certainly not. But almost certainly and close count in horseshoes and hand grenades. They don't count in criminal prosecution. Planned Parenthood went to court in Texas and got an exemption briefly, but Planned Parenthood is closing down any abortion services because they will not take the risk. When it comes to criminal prosecution, well-intentioned professionals and good people will stand back and not even do something common sense to avoid risk. You must understand that. Therefore, the devastating effect of the Supreme Court opinion is that they put uncertainty in people's minds, and therefore they've accomplished their objective. And also, the other thing is, they didn't tell you to do anything or not do anything. They grinned and sat back and said the states can do it any way they want. That way, what's there to disobey of the Supreme Court? What you have to do is disobey the state. Well, the problem with the states is they can be very brutal. They have law enforcement on their side. They have governors and secretaries of state and gerrymandered legislatures who are brutal. We do not want violence. I want to make that clear when I'm talking like this. But something has got to be done. Go to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Box, as in a special deal.